Hello, good morning. Praise God. It is so wonderful to be in the house of God. I every time you come to the house of God on a Sunday, when you worship God, you feel your spirit lifted up. Okay, you feel the presence of God. It's so important. That's why you need to come to the house of God. Okay, I know that some of you are still on live streaming. I'd like to encourage you to come to the house of God. Before we listen to the word of God, let's give to God. Father, we thank you for your presence in our midst. Thank you that we can worship you. And Father, right now we want to worship you with our offering, Lord. And God, we know that God, you will bless us back bountifully as we pay our tithes and give our offering. In Jesus' name, we pray. Let all the earth and all the heavens declare your majesty. Exalt your name. Now we sing glory. For the times of praise and worship, thank you very much. Thank you, Pastor Carlos, for this nice song. Very nice song. Okay, you can feel the presence of God as a result of these nice songs. You know, Pastor Lily and me, we were discussing, and we said that before he sang this song, okay, say Pastor Carlos is really called by God. You know, there's such a thing as you really are called. You know, Pastor Marian and Pastor Lim, last time they always said that Pastor Lily and I, we were really called by God. When you are called by God, there is a distinct backup power that God is with you. Okay, praise God. Let's turn to Psalms 45. Psalms 45, verse 10 to 11. Psalms 45, verse 10 to 11. Okay, I'm sharing a message that he has been causing me to think for one whole week, in fact more than 1 week, and caused me to reach out to God and ask God for something in my life. So I this is something that I'm sharing out of, because it's something is personal to myself also. Okay, Psalm 45 verse 10 to 17. Hearken, O daughter, and consider, and incline thy ear, forget also thine own people and thy father's house. So shall the king desire thy beauty, for he is thy Lord, and worship thou him. And the daughter of Tyre shall be there with a gift. Even the rich among the people shall entreat thy favor. The king's daughter, the same person, the king's daughter is all glorious within. Her clothing is of wrought gold. She shall be brought unto the king in raiments of needlework. Meaning you say that her clothing is so done nicely, okay, through the needleworks. The virgins or companions that follow her shall be brought unto her. With gladness and rejoicing shall they be brought. They shall enter into the king's palace. Instead of thy fathers shall be thy children, whom thou mayest make princes in all the earth. I will make thy name to be remembered in all generation. Therefore shall the people praise thee forever and ever. Father, I just pray that you anoint this message right now. Help me anoint my tongue right now. Anoint your people. Speak to your people. In Jesus' name, I pray. Okay, I'm going to title my message this morning, Forget Your Father's House. Forget your father's house. I say again, forget your father's house. Look at your family right now. I say to you, forget your father's house. These Psalms consist of two main portions. Okay, in verse 2 to verse 9, the address is to the bridegroom. Okay, containing 8 verses. On the second portion, which has 6 verses, which we are touching on, is addressing the bride. This morning, we are going to concentrate on the bride. What can we learn from this portion of scripture? Number one, forget your father's house. I remember that when Pastor Lily was witnessing the passing away of her family members, I will be very honest with you, it was very heartbreaking, very excruciating time for her. It was a period, a season that was very, very difficult for her. When her father passed away, we only received the news one day later because of what you call shared phone, party line during a time. We were ministering to souls in Libertad and crossing the rivers of Libertad to reach houses to pray for the members of the church in Libertad and Tiki. When the news reached her the next morning, finally, it was too overwhelming for her. I believe that Psalms 45 was one of those Psalms that God spoke directly to her. Since the passing away of her father, Pastor Lily has seen the passing away of another three members of her family. Her third brother, her mother, and recently, last year, her sister. But still God spoke clearly. We thank God that these last three accepted Christ as their personal savior. But still God spoke clearly to her to forget her father's house. Psalms 45 verse 10 says, "Hearken, O daughter, and consider and incline thy ear. Forget also thy own people and thy father's house." God literally challenged Pastor Lily to forget her own people, to forget her father's house. And Yahweh promised that in its state, the king would greatly desire her beauty. God is Yahweh, and we are to worship only Yahweh. And also the daughters of Tyre shall be there with a gift. Even the rich among the people shall entreat her favor. If you study these three verses properly, Psalm 45, verse 10 to 12, you study, it implies a marriage of the king with a foreign lady. Okay? The marriage of a king with a foreign lady. This fits very, very clearly to so many people that is in the Bible. We have David, okay, that is married to Bathsheba. From Bathsheba comes Solomon. Can you remember? Bathsheba was not Jewish. Definitely we have Joseph. I just mentioned, okay, Joseph's name is not inside that. Joseph married the king Pharaoh's daughter. Then we have Solomon. Solomon married a lot of foreign wives. We have Ahab that married Jezebel, a Tyrian princess. We have Jesus that is more applicable to each and every one of us, marrying the Gentiles. We are the Gentiles. So we are that daughter that God is speaking to us this morning. The verb use, okay, has four imperatives. You're saying that it is a necessity, it is a rule, it is a requirement. Here it's not just a please, no, it's a rule. It's a requirement, it's a necessity that this daughter has to adhere to. She has to listen, hearken to this call of God, to forget your father's house. The psalmist turned to this daughter, actually the bride, and spoke to her. He had encouragement and guidance for her. When he asked her to forget, he had tremendous encouragement for her. He has tremendous guidance for her life. And the second word is give what? Give attention. Literally see with your spiritual eyes what Yahweh has in store for you when you forget your father's house. Then thirdly, incline your ear. Then next, forget your people. Here I'm reminded of Abraham, who heard the gospel, the call of God out of the Ur of Chaldees. Abraham was told to forget his people. Abraham was told to forget his people. Using the concept of Genesis 2:24. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife. When you are married, you have to leave. You have to forget your father's house. Some of you have been telling you must leave your father's house, your parents' house, and you don't want. You go into a lot of trouble. Then finally you leave. Then you realize that the blessing comes. This was an invitation to this particular royal daughter. Yahweh looked at her as a royal princess to leave her people and her father's house to be joined to this anointed king in marriage. If we knew nothing else of this king mentioned here, we might think that this verse, this scripture, is a literal description of a marriage to an actual woman to become his wife. But knowing Jesus of Nazareth as king, as Messiah the king, and he has never been married during his earthly life, there is a reason. He's not married during his earthly life because he is married to the Gentiles. We understand this connect with a familiar metaphor. The people of God as the wife of God. The church of Jesus Christ as his bride. When God asks you to be his bride, the first thing God will tell you is, forget. If you see the Bible properly, you remember, God tell this rich man, you leave everything, you follow me. And he was not willing, because he was very rich. In this century, God is repeating this call to this church and to the world as a whole to leave their people, their father's house, to forget the custom of the father family, to forget the gods of the family, to forget the religion of the family, and cleave to God. So this psalmist is bidding you. He said, you hearken to me, you listen to me, you consider, you incline your ear to me. That if you listen to me, you reflect deeply on the new relationship in which you are about to be placed upon, the new spheres that you are entering into, the new duties that you are about to discharge in your life. She must give herself wholly to the Lord and have no thought of anything or anyone but him. To forget thy own people and thy father's house means to break all association, to break all bands and relationship that will separate between you and your king. Forget the past in the present. Cease and be wholly Christ. I believe this is the invitation God made to all of us. I remember that when I was saved, something happened inside me. Salvation wasn't just a ticket, a fire insurance policy to heaven. Salvation was a changed life. Salvation has become a living relationship with Jesus Christ. I remember I entered into a new life with Christ. I'm entering into a new spheres. I'm entering into a new duties that I have to discharge as a child of the living God. When I become a Christian, I realize that I'm called to break up with the old identity and the old ties. I have to give up all the gods of my mother and my father. I have gods in the living room. I have gods in the kitchen. I have gods at the front door. I have to give up the Buddhism of my friends. My friends, we were Buddhists. We wear robes. And on certain occasion, we will wear robes and we will go to the temple and we have cell group. I have to give up all these friends of mine. I tell you frankly, I gave up all of them. I have to break the old identity. I have to break the old ties. There must be a death to the past, seemingly to the point of hating the father and mother. Seemingly hating the father and mother in order to become this new bride for Jesus Christ. Number two. Why forget? Forgetfulness leads to fruitfulness. I want to tell you something. Many of you are still not fruitful until today because you did not forget this past, this word of God. Why do God ask this daughter of the king to forget her own people and her father's house? Because forgetfulness leads to fruitfulness. This is seen in the example of Abraham and Joseph. But we just concentrate on Joseph today. Okay? To talk about this truth about forgetfulness leads to fruitfulness. In Genesis 41 verse 51 and 52 it says, and Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh. Manasseh. Manasseh was older, is older. For God has made me to forget all my toys and all my father's house. And the name of the second he called Ephraim. For God has caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. See, Joseph gave two names to his two sons to reflect what God has done in his life. When we see the names and what they meant, what we can see what a great work God has done in Joseph's life. Manasseh means forgetfulness. Ephraim means fruitfulness. Manasseh come first. Manasseh was firstborn. Ephraim was secondborn. Manasseh, you have to forget. Manasseh, forget. Then you can be fruitful, Ephraim. Ephraim outshone Manasseh. If you study the history of the 12 tribes of Israel, the two standing tribes was Judah and Ephraim. But Judah was the Lord, was in the head of the 10 tribes of all the 12 tribes of Israel. Ephraim became so prominent that he's always mentioned much more than any other people, tribes in the Old Testament. But Manasseh has to come first. Forget has to come first before you have Ephraim. If you do not forget your father's house, you will not experience the fruitfulness that God has intended for you. In the book of The Great Divorce, C.S. Lewis described hell as a place where no one forgets anything. In hell, no one forgets anything. It was his idea that in hell, each person would remember every offense, every slight, every cruel exchange of word, every wrong ever done to them, and everyone will be utterly unforgiving. But in heaven, all these things will be put away, because all things have become new. What fruitfulness is being held back in your life? Because you will not forget something that should be forgotten. You know what God spoke to me? Forget your old church. God told me to forget my old church. Forget. Forget Kazon also. He told me, forget my church in Singapore that sent us here. God said, you have to forget. If you don't forget, you will not be fruitful. The reason why you are not fruitful, because you did not forget. I want to challenge you to forget the pain that your father, your parents have inflicted on you. They are not being an example. Forget that they have inflicted on you. Forget the cruel arguments of words in that family. Forget the wrong done to you. Maybe you have been given away. Maybe you were raped by family members. Maybe your family has brought you a lot of traumatic and unforgettable experiences that affected you deeply. You know Joseph? Joseph's people and Joseph's house brought so much pain that the Bible said he cried so bitterly that his cry was so loud that the whole household of Egypt heard his cry. It was painful. The experience of his father's house was so painful that he called his son Manasseh. And God say to you today, forget your own people. Forget your father's house. Bible scholars have stated that the Psalms 45, the theme, forget your father's house, is a core theological message. I want to tell you, many of us, we forgot that one of the core theological message for each and every one of our life is to forget your father's house. The call to forget is an allusion to God's promise to Abraham, and also explains about a foreign bride. Why a foreign bride may share in the glory. We are the foreign bride. We are the Gentile. May share in the glory and the splendor and the king and joy. That the king and joy. We have the example of Bathsheba. We have the example of Ruth. We have the example of Rahab. Am I correct? Please remember Bathsheba. Please remember Ahab, Rahab the prostitute.
Please remember Ruth, the Moabite. These three, they were told to forget their family's house. They were told to forget their people. And these three, they did it, and they enjoyed the king's favor. Forget your father's house is a key to fruitfulness in your life. What happens when you forget your father's house? Number one, the king will greatly desire your beauty. You have to forget. Then you will desire your beauty. There must be sacrifice, a total abandonment of the faith of your family's religion, the custom and the belief. One reason the king invited the royal daughter to marriage was he see her as beautiful. The reason God called you, the reason God invited you to be his children is because he looked at you as beautiful. Beautiful. And so he desired you. The king desired her. Since the king's beauty was that of character. God's character is, God's beauty is one of character. Likewise, okay, this daughter, Psalm 45, verse 2, you are fairer than the sons of men, grace is poured upon your lips, therefore the God has blessed you forever. You are fairer. You are fairer. Grace is upon you. Your beauty is also one of character. Therefore, we can be sure that the bride's beauty includes character. You know, God has been showing me repeatedly these past few weeks and concerning how he looks at us. Therefore, do not let the devil lie to you. Do not believe the lies of the devil. Jesus, the Messiah, the King, sees the beauty of his people collectively, the church. He looks at the church and he looks at it as beautiful. And he desires them. He desires the church. He desires you individually in committed relationship, in the sharing of all things. He desires to have a future with you. And he have the future that is linked together one day that he desires you. Her beauty was so greatly desired and delighted in by the Messiah. And is one of beauty. Secondly, she is clothed with beauty. Some Bible commentators are trying to give a title for Psalms 45. And one of the titles is Upon Lilies. I mean, one of the most beautiful flowers are lilies. I'm telling you. I mean, when you want to give a flower gift to your, a bouquet of gift to your, I remember Jen. Okay, she had some quarrel with Pastor Lily in France. And she went to get the lilies, I tell you. Just three stalks. And when she presented to Pastor Lily, I saw it on the picture, it was so beautiful. White, a little bit of greenish. It melts the heart of Pastor Lily. Upon lilies. Lilies, no doubt, was viewed as sacred flowers. And largely used in the ornamentations of the temple. We are the lilies of the valley. God look at you as the lilies. Okay? Not the mimosa. Not the grass. Not even the morning glory. Okay? Not even the rose. God look at you as the lilies. You know, another person tried to give Psalm 45 a title. I'm talking about the beauty. God look at you as beauty. Lilies, okay? Another title that he gave to Psalm 45 was the Song of Love. The king's songs of love for the bride. The king's songs of love for this daughter of hers. Her clothing was the righteousness of saints. You are clothed with righteousness. Okay? We cannot help but read with this application how God looked at us as a bride. How God looked at the church as a bride. You know what did Jesus, when he looked at the church as a bride, you know what comes in? All glorious. All glorious. He just declared, it's all glorious. We see the church and notice so many flaws, so many imperfection. Yet Jesus looked at his bought, the blood-bought people and say, all glorious. He looked at the church and say, all glorious. That's why I want to tell you, don't let the devil lie to you. Perhaps nowhere in the Old Testament do we find a nearer approach, this approach to the disclosure of the secrets of the church. Then this son, all glorious. Verse 13 says, the king's daughter is glorious within. The king's daughter is glorious within. The word within, okay, it's translated as pearl. P-E-A-R-L. It is so interesting. God called the Jewish people Jew. The word Jew comes from the word jewel. Am I correct? Think properly. You think properly. That's how God looked at his people. That's how God looked at the church. That's how God looked at each and every one of us. Jewel comes from the expression jewel. Jewel is a cut and polished precious stone, a gem. It means a precious possession. We all know that the children of Abraham were known as Jew. They were called Jew. When God called Abraham out, all the children of Abraham were called Jew. They are the precious stone. I mean, the children of Israel are called Jew. In the very beginning, God has looked at the Jews and looked at the church as a precious possession. Likewise, we are Gentiles, married as bride to Jesus, too precious and possession of Yahweh. Within means that you are clothed with pearls, you are clothed with jewelries, you are clothed with jewels. That's why actually they say that Satan has so many precious stones in his body and he became proud. You go and study, he has so many precious stones. Satan himself. God, look at us like that. Jew, within also means in the palace, in the secret chamber. Her glory is great. Her glory in this church, in the secret chamber of this church, the glory is great. Though unseen of men, the Lord sees her and commend her. You know, Charles Spurgeon say, it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we shall be one day all glorious. She's clothed, she's woven with gold. She's clothed with valuable and beautiful clothing. Her clothes are one of multiple colors. Pastor Lily, last night when we were just fellowshipping, she doesn't know what I'm sharing. She was talking about the multiple colors. One of the meaning of multiple colors. Okay, you talk about Joseph having multiple colors in the clothing. Yes. It talks about hope. Tremendous hope for each and every one of us. She wears several robes of many colors when she entered the presence of the king. She shall be brought into the king in raiment of needlework. That means the workmanship on this clothing is so exquisite, is so detailed, is so carefully interwoven, carefully needed. God has carefully done a work in your life. Do you know that God has carefully done the work in you? That's why nothing happened by chance in our life. There is an invisible hand in your life that God is at work. If only you will cooperate with Him. Hallelujah. The Bible says there's a group of people that is with this bride, the virgins. The virgins, her companion that follow her shall be brought unto thee. With gladness and rejoicing, they will be brought. It implies her convert. Her convert. I want to tell you one day, okay, when you present your basket to God, the Father, to get your reward, inside the fruits of the basket are your converts. I'm telling you, your converts. No, we were sharing, we are fellowshipping with this family. Many brothers. And we ask, who brought you to church? Oh, it was this boy. They brought us to church. The converts. The converts. The royal daughter is accompanied by bridesmaid. And together they come before the king. The converts come together with the bride to the king. You know, your greatest reward, the greatest work that you can do on earth are souls. Because as a bride, they are like, the virgins are like the bride. The same familiarity as a bride. They are the maids of honor, the maid of honors. They shall partake with the happiness of this bride. They shall enter the king's palace too. The soul that you brought to Christ will share in inheritance with you, and you are greatly beloved of God. Thirdly, they will enjoy the riches of the Gentiles. This is the part that troubled me the most. You listen carefully. 45:12. The daughter of Tyre will come with a gift. The rich among the people will seek your favor. I'm talking about this bride, okay? I'm talking about this bride of the king. I'm talking about this daughter. The daughter of Tyre will come with a gift. The rich among the people will seek your favor. Being joined together with this king, Christ, in marriage, means many benefits for this royal daughter. She received gifts from the nations and is set in such a high place that even the rich seek her favor. Normally, others seek the favor of the rich, but she is placed in a higher place than the rich, in that the rich seek her favor. Of course, the bride's submission to a partner as both husband and king goes hand in hand with the dignity she derives from this king. Her friends, her subject are now hers. She is the gainer, not the loser, by her worship of the king. What do you mean? The daughters of Tyre shall be there with a gift. Heathen nations shall be attracted to Christ and the church. They shall bring offering. She shall make a submission. They shall humbly seek favor. Tyre is a type of the hidden states and the cities generally. Even the rich among the people of Tyre shall intrigue the favor of this daughter. Let us try to understand the wealth of Tyre. The wealth of Tyre. Isaiah 23:3 says, Tyre is known as the mark of nations. It says, and by the great waters of the Sea of Sihor, the harvest of the river is the revenue. And she is a mark of nations. The word mark comes from the word market. She is the market of nation. It simply means that she is the trading center for sales of goods by manufacturer and wholesalers to retail merchants. It also means it has massive trading power, having open access to sea gates for global trade. They are the king of tires. The phrase shall intrigue your favor literally means to stroke your face, to make it bright. The root meaning is to polish your face, to make your face bright. When they give you the gift, you will make your face bright. You will polish your face to render your face joyful. To render your face joyful with the pleasure of the gift. The daughter of Tyre will be there. You know what's the meaning of the daughter of Tyre will be there? It means that she will be a convert. She will also be a convert and become daughters of God. Becomes children of God. But even if these daughters are not converted, they will become the attendants. They come from all nations with their offerings and devotion. This Tyre, to testify of their worship, they did it by gift, presents, to procure the daughter's favor and the Lord's favor. We will be courted by rulers and powerful people. Daughters of Tyre means a princess from the great trading center, a symbolic of the peace. No, he's trying to say that. In Israel, there will be a lot of people from Tyre. So during the time of Israel, it will be a very bustling cities with a lot of exchange of global trade. And with a lot of exchange, and all these things will come to that daughter, to intrigue that daughter, to get favor from that daughter. What is God trying to show us in Psalms 45:12? It implies the exalted position of the church. And thus its members, he implies the exalted position of the members. He implies the contribution of material wealth, the contribution of material wealth, the riches of the Gentiles to sustain the institution of the church in your life. In your life. You know, CNN, you say, Pastor, are you sure? CNN ran an article on who funded Jesus' ministry, and even quoted Luke 8:1-3. Can I ask you, did Jesus worry about money when he was moving around? I ask you this question. Did Jesus worry about money when he was witnessing, sharing the gospel? I don't see him worrying about money at all. Who funded Jesus' ministry? Luke chapter 8, verse 1 to 3 says, after this, Jesus traveled about from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, and also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and disease. Mary, called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons come about. Joanna, the wife of Cusa, the manager of Herod's household. Susanna, and many others. These women were helping to support the work of Jesus. According to discovery, Mary Magdalene, among other things, was a financial supporter of Jesus. In fact, they were also there when Jesus on Easter Sunday. Can you remember? They were there. They were there. They were among the first women to be there at the tomb. Mary Magdalene likely came from a prosperous town of Magdala. That's why Magdalene, Magdala, on the Sea of Galilee. It was home to a thriving fishing industry, as well as dye, making clothes, dye, and textile work. Mary could have well come from a very affluent family, or herself has been a successful businesswoman herself. Joanna was an upper-class woman, married to a man called Cusa. Cusa was an intelligent and very capable man to manage the complicated household of Herod Antipas, the son of Herod the Great. This Herod the Great was the violent and ambitious head of Judea. Yet this Joanna's husband was in charge of the whole household of Herod Antipas, and she was the one that funded the ministry. I said the king of Tyre. I thought the daughters of Tyre. I thought the daughters of the rich people. They will come. The background of Susanna was not mentioned, but the reason she was mentioned, most likely she comes from a wealthy family to contribute. And most likely she was mentioned because she contributed to the funding of Jesus' ministry. And the Bible said there were still others. There were others. Many others. The Bible said there were many others whose name I'm not even mentioned. Then CNN article continued. Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, both were men of statures and wealth. They chipped in to help fund Jesus' ministry. After Jesus' death, this is a fulfillment of Psalms 45. A fulfillment of Psalms 45, let me tell you that. After Jesus' death, both Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea were responsible to prepare the embalming and the burial for Jesus. Joseph gave his precious land. It's a garden, a tomb, known for its beauty, to bury Jesus. The people of Tyre are a very rich, proud. Yeah, they are very rich. They are very proud people. Very self-considered, very stiff-necked people. Yet, they are the bringer of gifts. Donations to the church and to the individual daughters of God. Even the rich among the people, just say the rich in the whole of Iloilo City, will value your friendship, gain your goodwill, desire to have communion with you, and cherish your prayer for them. You know, when I reach this portion of scripture, I cried to Yahweh, let my eyes behold the fulfillment of this portion of scripture. When I was reading Psalms 45, to be honest, my heart was greatly stirred. I could not forget verse 12 for a week and sought God for an answer. I personally believe that God will give each and every one of his children. The Bible here says a gift. The daughter of Tyre will bring a gift. Okay, it didn't say gifts, huh? Will bring a gift. The Bible is very clear. I don't know how to explain to you, but I felt in my spirit that a daughter of Tyre will come to me and one day present me with a gift. And I also believe that for each and every one of you, a daughter of Tyre will come to you and present you with a gift. Do not leave this earth until you see the fulfillment of this verse in your life. You have to seek God. The church has to seek God and ask for that gift from the daughter of Tyre. From the daughter of Tyre. Yes, please, but you have to forget. You have to forget. Number three, the distinction of life. Verse 45, 16 to 17. Instead of thy fathers, forget your father's house, huh? Shall be your children, a new life, a new family, whom you will make princes in all the earth. I will make your name to be remembered in all generations. Therefore shall the people praise you forever and ever. Verse 16 and 17 are prophetic. It's a prophecy from God given through the psalmist and intentionally for each and every one of us. Pastor Lily's father did pass away. In their state, we have our daughters. Our sons and daughters, the Bible here says, will become princes and prince and princess in all the earth. We have sons and daughters that will become princes of the land. Princes of the land. Okay, you put the earth, it's very difficult. They will become princes of the land. You become princes of Ilolo City. They become prince of Ilolo City, of the land. They will replace our fathers. The psalmist prophesies that our sons and daughters, as a result, will be remembered and honored through God. You know, Joy was born in doctor's hospital. And Jen was born in Singapore, but 1 month later, in Delhi, she was brought to Ilolo City. When we bring our children to Singapore, okay, God be the glory, I'm not trying to boast, okay? They always say our children are very special. Even when they were children, they were always fascinated with them. When we enter into partnership with RSBC, we have around 100 members, friends of RSBC. They were always impressed with our two children. The statement was always made like this: your children are very smart. Pastor Lawrence himself, Pastor Lawrence, the senior pastor, has a very soft heart and very good opinion of Jen. He wants Jen to stay in RSBC. My mom's common statement, my own mom's common statement concerning my two children is that they are so smart. Please, they grew up in Ilolo City. They finish their elementary and high school in Ilolo City. Yet there's always a special favor upon them. Not because they are smart, but because the hand of the Lord is in their life. There will come a time, if not in this life, we have to inherit the earth. Our thanksgiving will be endless because of what we experience in this lifetime and in the world to come. Instead of always pining for your father, shall be your children. Shall be your children. The sacrifice which the bride has made for the sake of the king shall be more than compensated by your children. So you have more children, God bless you. Please take it as a blessing. God bless you. Who will gather around her, who will become princesses or prince of the land, whom you will make prince in all the land. Yahweh is declaring Psalms 45:7, I will make thy name to be remembered. Psalms verse 16 and 17 are describing what I call the distinction of life. The distinction of life. There will be the distinction of life if you forget your father and be cleave unto your God. The king's bride will experience the distinction of life. You have to experience the distinction of life. You will experience the distinction of life. Where did this distinction of life come from? The source is divine. It's not of your own work. It's divine. There is a mysterious hand. You know, I shared with you last week that I was in Miagao. I saw this big rock. It's so gigantic. I said, where did this rock come from? It's like it's out of place. Like it's not so. So who brought the rock there? But it was that. It was gigantic, strong and stable. Then God told me, everywhere there is rocks, solid rocks. I'm everywhere. It's just the people cannot see. more in the city they cannot see because there's no rock. Jesus said that I'm everywhere. The source is divine. Yahweh is a source of our honor. So it is in the higher things which the king's daughter will experience. You experience a higher thing because the source is divine. True honors come from God and give it to those to whom he saw them that they are worthy to experience the higher life, the higher things. Their character is princely. When God makes princes, he makes princes in reality. He not only give place, but give power. Not only give power, but give the highest honors. I want to tell you something. If you study properly people's life, there are many people, they are successful kings, successful prime president and prime minister. You go into the background, even singers. You go into the background, they come from the church. Elvis Presley started singing from the church. Am I correct? But he doesn't want to give his life to God. Gerhard Merkel of Germany, the former chancellor, she's a daughter of a prime minister. Sorry, she was the daughter of a pastor. Even Kelly, the singer. Then there was this famous singer. Her voice is one of the best I ever enjoyed listening to her voice. She passed, she died. What's her name? Whitney Houston. Whitney Houston! One of the best voices you've ever heard. She sang in a church before. God brought them all up. God brought them all up. God brought them all up. But what did they do? They forgot their God. They forgot their God. So the problem is not God. The problem is them. Even this, what was it? This young man. He had a crisis. And he was brought to church and go and play for the church. Their influence is worldwide. Whenever they are known, they are honored. What was true of 12 disciples? You know, I was looking at Peter. Peter failed Christ, right? But you give him now, he's the rock. Do you know what the Roman Catholic Church? It was upon this rock that the Roman Catholic Church was built, was started. The Pope all started, you trace together, it started with Peter. Do you know why it's called Roman Catholic Church? Not Catholic Church. Where else you have the Orthodox Church? The Orthodox Church is like Eastern Church. I might call it the Eastern Church. The Roman Catholic Church are the Roman, the Western Church. But they call it West, Eastern and Western because the Eastern Church and the Western Church were in conflict. They were fighting. And the Eastern Church doesn't want the convert of the Western Church doesn't want the convert of the Eastern Church to influence them. So they purposely call it Roman Catholic Church. That's the meaning. But all traced together, if you trace together, it was Peter, one of the disciples of Jesus. Thomas, India. Their influence is worldwide. Whenever they are known, they are honored. What was true of the 12 disciples is so true of a measure of every child of God. Samuel Rutherford said, glory dwelleth in Emmanuel's land. I pray that glory will dwell in the Evangel Tabernacle in this land. I conclude. I finish. In commanding us to forget our Father's house, Jesus did not leave us in the ditch to fulfill this by ourselves. It is very hard to forget our Father's house. It is very hard. He said he himself set an example by forgetting his own Father's house in heaven and coming all the way down to this fallen, rotten world to pursue us as the bride. At the cross, because of our sin, he was forgotten by the Father. That's why I say, my God, why have you forgotten me? So that God can now no more forget us. See, the church, because Jesus was forgotten, you will no more be forgotten by God. You have become a precious gem. You have become the glorious church. You know, one day the church will be raptured and you will be a glorious church. The church that is to be raptured will not be a defeated church. The church that is raptured will be a very glorious church. As I will not forget, as a mother nursing the infant, the costly price that Christ has undergone should stir our heart to do the same by dissociating with the old ties and be joined to the new King, Jesus, who today has clothed us with His finest festive garment, the garment of His righteousness brought for us with His own blood. He also decked us with all precious ornaments, jewels like His Spirit, His character, spiritual gifting He has given to each. All that need to help you to succeed in life, He has given it to you. He has given it to you. I tell you frankly, He has given it to you. Remembering that will make us a great heart, that no sacrifice on our part is too great, as Christ has forgotten His own people, forgotten His own life, so that today we can be remembered by God as precious, jeweled bride of God, a beauty of God, and something that God desires after us. I want to challenge you today. Don't let the devil lie to you. You are a jewel. You are a precious possession to God. Today, you reach out to God. No, many a time we always are affected by our family. We make decisions that our family make. We are influenced, we are affected by the word filial piety. We are affected by their, even we speak like our parents. Am I correct? We are so deeply affected, and the only way is to leave the house. That's why God is so smart. God said, for this cause a man shall leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife. God is so smart. One of the things you have to respect, the American, you know what? By the age of 18, they leave their parents. Am I correct? Yes, by the age of 18, they leave their family. That's why America produced the greatest, the inventor. America is still the richest nation in the world. Very, very cruel. It sounds very cruel. I'm not saying today that, okay, you go and hate your father and mother. I'm not saying that, okay? I'm saying that you have to obey God's law. Forgetfulness brings forth fruitfulness in your life. Musician, can we come? All eyes closed. Brothers and sisters, God say to you, forget your father's house. Forget the religion. Forget the association. And come to God. Come to God. And God said, I will desire you. And God said, I will. You are my precious possession. And God said that I will give you a gift from the daughter of Tyre. They will entreat your favor. They will stroke your face. They will polish your face. They will make bright your face. God said they will come with a gift. Can I ask you this question right now? Has a daughter of Tyre ever come to you and given you a gift? If it has not happened, this morning you should cry out to God and say, God, please speak to me. Please speak to me. Please speak to me. Let this verse, let my eyes see, let my life experience the prophecy of this verse. Let me experience the prophecy of this verse. You reach out to God. Reach out to God as we stand up and sing. As we stand up and sing. All I have.
and sisters, as we look at Joseph's life, he had nothing before God except his brokenness and strife given to him by his father's house and his father's people, his brothers. And God told him that before fruitfulness can come, he has to forget. And forget he did. And that's why God exhorted him. And honor above all his brothers, that they all have to bow down before him. And they have to come from their land of Canaan to Egypt to pursue him, to get his favor. When they were asking for food, the father said, pack all these things. So many gifts to give to him. And brothers and sisters, I do not know what is your family background today. Maybe your family is a messed up, dysfunctional family. Your father's house is really, really rotten, like my family. I'm not judging you, I'm saying it out of experience, from my own family experience. Maybe your family is very steeped in idolatry, Roman Catholicism, or maybe your father and mother are broken up. They do not know how to love you. They do not know how to care for you. They do not know how to encourage you. And in your life, in your heart right now, are so much strife, so much brokenness, so much bitterness. And the call of God comes to you today. Forget about your father's house. But when you forget, you have to fulfill it with something. You have to fill it with linkage, a new connection to the new king, which is Jesus Christ. Your new family, your new spiritual link, your new spiritual legacy. And when we fulfill our part in forgetting, then Christ will desire our beauty. And then all other distinction will come in line to exalt you as an obedient child to the new king, a new bride to the new king. Something beautiful will come out of it.
Amen.
My whole natural family is gone. Totally gone. This September, I'm going back. I have nothing, no one to look forward to. But I have my immediate family, my two daughters. I have my daughters in the place of my father's house. I have two new son-in-law in place of my father's house. And God has made them distinctive in the place where they are in. And same thing, God wants to bless your children, the next generation. Let's give to God all the pieces, the shatteredness.
Amen.
Of our family, the old ties. Let's give it to him. Give it to God. Surrender. Forget. And be linked to the new king. Sing it again.
Something. I want you to forget. And I want you, those of you that want to forget, I want you to repeat this prayer after me. And you mean it with all of your heart. You mean it with all of your heart. Father, right now, I give up my family. I give up the gods of my family. In the name of Jesus Christ, I give up the ties of my old family. I give up the association of my family. I surrender them to you, Father. With my hand, I offer to you my Father's house. And Jesus, right now, I link myself to you. You have a future for me. You have a duty for me. You have a purpose and a plan for my life. Fulfill this plan in my life. Right now, I pray specifically for a gift from a daughter of Tyre. Give me this gift. I will not be satisfied until I see this gift. In Jesus' name, I pray. Father, you speak to me so few months ago to follow you, to be blameless and walk with you, and you will give me a blessing. You told me so clearly that you will give me a blessing. And right now, you speak so clearly that a daughter of Tyre will give me a gift. And Father, right now I pray that this gift will be fulfilled in many members' life. In many members' life. Let this prophecy be fulfilled. Because God, you are not a God that lie. We will receive it when we have faith. And Father, we have faith right now. And let our eyes behold the fulfillment of this verse. Touch us. Help us to walk with you and be blameless. We thank you for your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you very much. God bless you. Please take note that this coming afternoon at 2 p.m. is the second service, the Ilongo service. 3:30 is your SCG. Please take note throughout this week, okay? We will have our Tuesday, the zonal prayer meeting. Then Saturday, DJ cell group. There's still DJ cell group this coming Wednesday to Friday, okay? Go for your DJ cell group. DJ cell leader, I encourage you, okay? This is one of the things that you can... This will be your basket of fruits that you offer to God. Take care of the souls that is given to you. Have a plan and a purpose for their life. Then Saturday, 2 p.m. is the D-Zone. 4 p.m. is the Youth Central. Sunday, TKC is at 10 and 2 p.m. SCG is at 9 a.m. and 3:30. Thank you very much. God bless you. Have a wonderful week. Count yourself this week.